chapter 4. Book of Acts, chapter 4. We'll read verse 23. Being let go, that is, Peter and John, they went to their own company, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Begin tonight a series of messages concerning the relationships of church. Something that I believe that many in the Lord's churches have lost sight of, and that is the relationship that members have with one another. This will not be a lengthy series. I say that now, it could be, but I don't think it will be. But we want to, again, speak concerning the relationships of church. It's not meant to be a study in the doctrine of ecclesiology or the doctrine of the church. That's not our purpose. But suffice it to say that the Lord Jesus Christ established and organized his church during his earthly ministry, and he referred to it in Matthew 16 and verse 18 as my church. We learn from 1 Corinthians 12 and also in Luke chapter 6 that the apostles were the first members of this church. Suffice it to say also that this church that Jesus established and organized during his earthly ministry is local in nature. Also, this church that Jesus established and organized during his earthly ministry was given a God-given commission, was given a God-given function. We see that as stated in Matthew chapter 28. We see it stated again in Mark chapter 16. We see it stated in Ephesians 3 and verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. That's the function of the church. Also, the church that Jesus Christ established and organized is perpetual. Matthew 16 verse 18 and many other scriptures, specifically in the book of 1 Corinthians, we see that there is a continuity of the Lord's churches throughout the ages. In other words, the church that Jesus Christ established, the church that Jesus Christ refers to as my church, is still in existence today. That being true, every child of God should seek that kind of church, the kind of church that Jesus referred to as my church. And the fact that Jesus Christ has churches that he refers to as my church, that tells us, that alone tells us that all churches are not equal. Certainly the church that is referred to as the church of the Lord, the church that Christ referred to as my church, certainly that cannot be put on equal par with the churches and the organizations of men. We see in our text that Peter and John, who were members of this church that Jesus established and organized during his earthly ministry, they were persecuted, and following the persecution against them, being set free, we read here in Acts 4 and verse 23, they went to their own company. What they did is they went to where they knew the church was assembled. They went where they knew the church of which they were members was assembled. They went to their own company, that is, the church of which they were members. This is where they knew they belonged. They went there because they knew that's where they belonged. They had a sense of belonging. They went to their own company because their hearts were drawn there. Hearts were not drawn anywhere else. Their hearts were drawn there, and that's where they wanted to be. They had a desire to be with those people. They went to their own company. These were the people that they were most closely identified with on all the face of the earth. There were other saved people, but not all the saved were members of this church. And these two church members, Peter and John, went to their own company because, again, this was the people where they were most closely identified with. And again, who we are most closely identified with says much about our own beliefs, says much about our own character, says much about our own views. They went to their own company because that's where they had the deepest feelings of appreciation. The people they appreciated the most were there. The people that they, this is where they felt the deepest feelings of love. This is where they felt the deepest feelings of commitment. They went to their own company because this is where there was a bond. This is where there was a very close-knit relationship. And again, the reason that they went to where they knew the church was assembled because that was the most special of places to these two men, Peter and John. They couldn't think of any better place to go. There was no other place where they wanted to go. And again, the church, a local New Testament Baptist church, is a place of special relationship. So we want to consider, first of all, tonight, that this special relationship is seen in the distinction that is given to the church that Jesus Christ established and organized during his earthly ministry. First of all, the church is distinct. It is separate from the family of God and from the kingdom of God. And this distinction makes a special relationship possible that does not exist in the entire family of God, that does not exist in the entire kingdom of God. Again, the church that Jesus established and organized during his earthly ministry is local in nature. What we mean by that is it is an assembly. It is an assembly. The false doctrine of universal church, that is, all the saved, make up the church. That is foreign to the Word of God. It's not only foreign to the Word of God, it is contrary to the Word of God. And those who hold such a position, which is the majority of Christendom, holds this position of universal church. And those who hold to such a position, in their very lax interpretation of scriptures, make Israel, the kingdom of God, the family of God, and the church synonymous. But the Word of God draws a sharp distinction between the church and the family and the kingdom of God. So let's look very briefly at the family, the kingdom, and the church. The family of God, of course, consists of all the saved in heaven and on earth, from Adam to present. Now, for those who might believe that Adam wasn't saved and believe that Abel was the first person saved, you can say from Abel to present, but whatever. It is all the saved in heaven and on earth up to the present time. We see in Ephesians chapter 3, Ephesians chapter 3, and verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth The whole family, the entire family. But you notice they're in two different places. Part of the family is in heaven. Part of the family is on earth. So the family of God, consisting of all the saved, is separated between heaven and earth. Now there is coming a day when the entire family will be gathered together in Christ. We see that in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So there is the family of God. The majority of the family of God, you and I cannot have a relationship with. We cannot fellowship with. You cannot fellowship with those who are in heaven. We are separated because of the fact that the family of God is those that are on earth are spread throughout the earth. We do not know them all. We cannot possibly know them all. Therefore, we cannot fellowship with them all. But we are all in the family of God. Then, of course, there is the kingdom. Now, the kingdom, we're not going to get into this because it's not our purpose. But the kingdom is used in various ways throughout Scripture. Sometimes it's prophetic. Most of the time, the kingdom of God simply consists of all the saved on earth at any given time. That being said, it would be the kingdom of God, would be the family of God on earth. So you have the family of God in heaven. You have part of the family of God on earth. And the kingdom of God is all the saved on earth. Therefore, the kingdom of God is the family on earth. Not the family in heaven, but the family on earth. In Colossians 1 and verse 13, we see that we are translated into the kingdom. That is, we are born again into the kingdom. We are born again into the family of God. So we have the family of God, we have the kingdom of God, and then of course we have the church. And the church is a called out assembly. And they are called out from the kingdom. Notice in Luke chapter 6, keep in mind the kingdom is the family on earth, or all the saved on earth. In Luke chapter 6, and verse 13, and when it was day, he, Jesus, called unto him his disciples, his followers, and of them he chose 12. Now we know for sure, we don't know how many disciples there were, but I know this, there was more than 12. Because from them, he chose 12, whom he named apostles. That brings us to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28. And God hath set some, not all, in the church. First, apostles. The very first members were the apostles. So the church is a called out assembly from the kingdom. It is an elect within an elect. It is the chosen from the chosen. All the saved are elect. All the saved are chosen. When the Lord organized His church, of all those chosen, He chose some. So it's the chosen from the chosen. Also, Jesus gave his church authority of the kingdom. Notice in Matthew chapter 6, or Matthew 16. Matthew 16. Now again, the kingdom is all the saved on the earth. The church is chosen ones from the kingdom. And then notice in Matthew 16, verse 19. And I will give unto thee, talking about the church. I will build my church, he said in verse 18. And I will give unto thee the keys, the authority of the kingdom. The church operates within the kingdom. And the church has authority of the kingdom. So much authority, and whatsoever thou shalt bind in earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. What he's saying is this authority of the kingdom is recognized in heaven. Now there may be some so-called churches today who do not recognize church authority. But heaven recognizes church authority. Whatever is loosed is recognized in heaven. So the church has authority of the kingdom. The fact that the church has the keys or the authority of the kingdom distinguishes it from the kingdom. And that makes the church a special entity within the kingdom. The church is a special entity within the kingdom. So there is a distinction. We could spend a lot of time on this. I don't believe it's necessary. But there is a distinction between the family, the kingdom, and the church. Due to the nature and distinction of the church, there is a more close-knit relationship within the church than there is within the family, than there is within the kingdom of God. Now again, the kingdom of God is part of the family of God. It's God's family on earth. It is much smaller than the family of God. The family of God consists of all the saved on heaven and earth. The kingdom of God just includes the saved on earth. So the kingdom is much smaller than the family of God. Now, the church consists of those taken from the kingdom, which makes, of course, the church smaller than the kingdom of God, smaller than the family of God. Now, the family of God is split between heaven and earth. Part are in heaven, part are on earth. And though there are people who believe, and even many of God's people who believe that you can somehow have fellowship with those in heaven, I'm sorry to break the news to you, you can't. No, you can't. That might, you might make you feel all good and all that to think that, but it's a false thought. We cannot fellowship with those of the family that are in heaven. It's not possible. You cannot even talk to them. They do not respond. So the family of God is split between heaven and earth. And the kingdom of God is spread all over the earth, separated by space. So neither the family of God or the kingdom of God on this earth, they never assemble in their entirety. It's not possible. They never assemble in their entirety. Now, we read Ephesians 1, verse 10, At the rapture, of course, there's going to be a great assembling, but that's going to be in the air. The family of God, the kingdom of God, never assemble on earth. The church is a called out assembly. The churches of the Lord have a fixed location upon earth. So the church has an assembly. Necessarily must be local. If it's an assembly, it must assemble. You cannot have an assembly that does not assemble. That's common sense. So if it's an assembly, it must assemble. And in order to assemble, it must assemble somewhere. An assembly must have a location. An assembly must have an assembling point. And the church is an assembly. So the church has location. Again, a church is a called out assembly from the kingdom. Now, the word church or churches in the New Testament refers to the kind of church that Jesus established and organized during his earthly ministry, which he referred to again as my church. Due to perpetuity, due to continuity, there is a plurality of these kind of churches upon the earth. All through the New Testament, we see that phrase, the churches. The churches. And the churches refer back to the kind that Jesus established during his earthly ministry. But you go through the book of Acts and you see that phrase, the churches. You go through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you see the churches. You go through Galatians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, you see the churches. We go to the book of Revelation and we see that phrase again, the churches, the churches. And whosoever hath an ear, let him... Well, let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 4. John to the seven churches. The churches have to be somewhere. In this case, the seven churches were in Asia. And then as you read through Revelation 2 and 3, you see where each church was located in Asia. There is the church of Ephesus, and on you can go. There is the church in Smyrna. But we have the churches, plural, all referring back to the kind of church that Jesus established. And we have the church, singular, throughout the Word of God. And the church singular refers to a group of baptized believers in a definite location. And the writers of the New Testament went to great lengths to mention the location of the church singular. Notice in Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was great persecution against the church. And it was somewhere, which was at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Acts 11, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 13, in verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. We have a church in Jerusalem. We have a church in Antioch. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth. We have a church in Jerusalem. We have a church in Antioch. We have a church in Corinth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 1. And I would point out that it is referred to as the church of God which is at Corinth. Corinth was a mess, but it was still the church of God. You'd better be careful who you unchurch. You better be careful. The church of Corinth was as bad as it gets, and yet they were still a church. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, again we read, the church of God which is at Corinth. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 Peter chapter 5, and verse 13. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. There's a distinction between the church and Marcus. Marcus isn't the church. There's a church in Babylon. The church in Babylon salutes, and Marcus salutes as well. So there, the church is singular with a definite location. Again, you go to Revelation 2, Revelation chapter 3, and we see seven churches in the singular with a definite location. Four times in the New Testament, the church singular is said to be located in an individual's home. Notice in Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, verse 5. Again, it's not the building that makes the church. Church is an assembly in a definite location. Romans 16, verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. There was a church that assembled in a house. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And verse 19. The churches, plural, of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord, and the church that is in their house, the church that assembles in the house of Aquila and Priscilla. In Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15, salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church which is in his house. And then the book of Philemon, we'll read verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Four times a church is said to, there were specific churches that assembled in houses. Three times in the Word of God, the church is referred to as the whole church. That would be the whole church assembled. The family or the kingdom does not assemble as a whole on earth, which makes fellowship with everybody in the kingdom an impossibility. But the church, each local body in specific locations, the whole church can assemble. Notice in the book of Acts, chapter 15. Book of Acts, chapter 15, and verse 22. Then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas. The whole church. We see also in Romans chapter 16, verse 23. Romans 16, verse 23. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Talking about a local church, because that's the only kind of church that the Bible knows anything about. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together in one place, it is possible for Home Baptist Church in its entirety to assemble in one place. It is possible for every local New Testament Baptist church to assemble in one place in its entirety. That is not possible with the family of God on earth or the kingdom. The whole point being, though we are spiritually related, brothers and sisters in Christ, with all the saved in heaven and in earth, we do not know them all. Now you are to know everyone within a local New Testament Baptist church. But though we are related, brothers and sisters in Christ, with all the family of God or the kingdom, the family on earth, we do not know them all. And we do not have access to them all. And it is not possible to have personal association with them all. It is not possible to have personal correspondence with all of them. It is not possible to have an interrelation with them all. It's not possible. But the Lord establishes and organizes His churches in different locations throughout the world. He does this by choosing, by selecting certain ones from the kingdom and placing them in a specific church in a given locality, thus forming an attachment between members of that church. An attachment that exceeds all other attachments. And we'll get to this next week. But it is an attachment that exceeds all other attachments. Paul speaking of the members of a local church, in particular the church at Ephesus, or the church of Corinth. He wrote in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 24, concerning the members of that church, he said that they were tempered together. There was an attachment. That's not so of all those in the kingdom. But it is so of the church. They are tempered together. Each and every member that the Lord has placed in Home Baptist Church is tempered together by God. That creates a special relationship, and I believe most church members lost sight of that a long time ago. If they ever had sight of it, it's been lost. The attachment that exists between members of a church. In Ephesians 2 and verse 21, these members of the church of Ephesus are said to be fitly framed together. And in Ephesians 4 verse 16, they are fitly joined together and compacted. There is an attachment. It is an attachment that supersedes any other attachment that we might have with anybody in the kingdom. Now, we can have attachment, and we do. We can have relationship with members of sister churches. We can have fellowship with them. We can have friendship with them. We can have a closeness with them. But we're talking about an attachment that supersedes that. We're talking about the members of one body. The members of one body. That attachment supersedes any other attachment you might have with anybody else in the family of God on earth or the kingdom. There's an attachment. That gives us, well, we'll see that's this in a little bit. This attachment is seen from the fact that the Lord's churches are referred to as households. Each local church is a household. Home Baptist Church is a household. The church in West Milton is a household. The church in Wasion is a household. Liberty is a household. On and on we could go. They're all separate households. They're all separate entities. Now, in Galatians 6, if we turn there, Galatians 6 and verse 10. We have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all. Especially. This is a responsibility. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Household of a common faith. He's talking about the church. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints. That would be the family of God. And of the household, distinction is made. And of the household of God. Now, what is a household? A household consists of those who dwell under the same roof. That's a household. A family is usually made up of several households. The Gunnels. Family, three households. Three different households. Brother Dwayne has a household, Brother Kevin has a household, Brother Art has a household. Three different households, all part of a family. But those in a household have an attachment with one another that goes beyond the attachment that you have with the family outside of that household. That doesn't lessen the attachment of the family outside of the household. But there is a closer relationship, there is a closer attachment within a household than you have with the rest of the family. That's true when it comes to a church. There is an attachment within a church of the Lord Jesus Christ that supersedes the attachment that we might have with the family outside of this particular household. And you think about a household. There is a knowledge of one another in a household that goes deeper than the knowledge of the family outside of the household. And there is a relationship that supersedes the relationship that you might have with the family outside of your household. There is also a responsibility. Now, believe it or not, if you have a household, you are more responsible for those in that household than you are for the family outside of the household. Didn't say you didn't have any responsibility toward the family outside the household. That's not what it said. But you have a greater responsibility to those within your household. That's true of a church. We have a greater responsibility toward one another than we do toward anybody in the family of God outside of this household. We have more accountability within a household. Those in a household are accountable, or they should be. They are accountable to one another. You are not necessarily accountable for everyone in your family, but you are accountable to those within your household. A household also provides opportunities and privileges that are special, that are peculiar to that household. There are special privileges. There are special opportunities. So being a part of one of the Lord's churches means that we belong to a household. It is the house of the Lord. It is a household, and under that roof, in that assembly, are those whom the Lord has chosen from the chosen in that specific locality and has formed a household. That gives us a special relationship. That gives us a special attachment. For someone to say, I feel closer to the members of whatever church than I do my own church, you've got a problem. You've got a problem. And it's not a little problem. It's a big problem. Now, it can be one of several problems, but it's a big problem no matter what. One, you may have a problem with your spirit. Two, you may be in the wrong place. Maybe you need to be there. My point is that there is no closer attachment than those in a household, those in a body of Christ. We have a responsibility one to another. There is to be a personal relationship. You cannot have a personal relationship with everybody in the family on this earth. It's not possible. But you can and you should have a personal relationship with everyone in the body of Christ, everyone in this household of faith. You get along with some better than others? Of course. That's true no matter where there's people. But there is an attachment for each one who's been added. Now, we realize that not all who are on membership rolls in Baptist churches have been added to the Lord's church. I believe that's probably true of all the Lord's churches. There are some that the Lord has not added. Technically, they are not members. We recognize them as members because we don't know. But the Lord doesn't. They're not members. Again, every pastor pastors two churches. They pastor the Lord's church, and they pastor the paper church. And they do not have much trouble with the Lord's church. But the paper church will give you fits. They'll run you ragged. And by the paper church, I mean just that. They're members on paper. And that's it. But for those that have been added, there is a relationship. And it is a special. It is a very close-knit relationship. It disturbs me. It's a real big problem. And it's pretty widespread. Well, our church, people will say, well, our church just isn't that close-knit. Well, don't you see, that's a problem. That's a real problem. That means you are in disobedience to the Lord. Because if the Lord put it all together, He tempered it together. And they are to be close-knit. There is a bond there. A bond that, again, supersedes all others. Next week we'll look at the church as a body. In doing so, we see again there is an attachment like none other within a body of Christ. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us.